I'm the creative director of Mint, and I just want to tell you what the Foundry is before they get started. A couple of years ago, we decided to do a graduate scheme. I have a pet peeve about graduate schemes because I think they're really done badly. So we came up with two principles for the one that we wanted to do. One is doesn't have to be graduates. Well, that's not one of them, but they don't have to be graduates. Dropouts are also welcome. Principle number one was graduates are not cheap labor, if it is. So don't just get them in to do what we do and help them out. And number two was they have to work on something that we don't know a whole lot about either. So that it's a mutual learning. It's like, who's to say that it's a one-way learning sort of system? It's actually two ways. Last year, the brief was make something connected to the internet that doesn't live on the screen. You may remember, you may have seen this little fella. It's called Ollie. Ollie is a web-connected smelly robot. You plug it into your social networks, you fill Ollie with the smell of your choice, and when the triggers that you've set are on, Ollie produces a smell, letting you know about the notification. So that was fun. I thought that was weird, and then these jokes came in. So I'll let you tell them a little bit about what they've been up to for the 3 months that they were at Mint.
Yeah, hello, we're the Foundry. I'm Luke, this is Hugh, Tom and Dave. And yeah, we were set the brief this year to make a toy that has a reason to exist. And that was, that pretty much blew our mind from the start. It's so open and such a big brief. We were completely like, we had no starting point and we just couldn't believe our luck, basically. Four graduates, 1 week out of uni, we get set a brief to make a toy, and we're getting paid for it, which was actually amazing, and bit of a gold mine there, yeah. So first we wanted to set about defining, like, or kind of giving our definition of what a toy is, and setting some parameters to the project, which was really helpful, a really good starting point for us, basically. And the place we thought best to start was Hamleys during the summer holidays, which was... Well, I've not recovered from that yet. I can't even bring words from my mouth to tell you how bad it was. Such a, like, sensory overload. Like, everything's sold to, like, the kids, and it's all on kind of, like, that level. Everything's sold on that level, and all the kids are running around, and there's actors going mental. And it's like you've been put in a, like, asylum, kind of, but full of nice, fluffy things, basically. And, yeah, the next trip we took was Harrods, which, again, was a really interesting experience. But what made it interesting this time was that it felt like it was selling to the adults. It was a lot more kind of classy and a lot more considered and well thought out with displays. Complete, like, juxtaposition to Hamleys. Yeah, and then we took trips to the Bethnal Green Childhood Museum and Pollock's Toy Museum. And that gave us a really good, like, historical... and social context to toys, seeing them, like, merely as objects behind glass, completely, like, objectified, rather than kind of in the state of play and people kind of messing around with them. So, yeah, those three things. And then a final trip to Soho, which, yeah, to look at another set of toys, which was, thanks to Hook, he sent us there, so thanks again for that. A few of us haven't really recovered from that either, so yeah. So these trips, again, the Soho thing was like seeing a different market, and it was kind of like working out a different approach to toys as well, one that's not really thought about. So yeah, carry on.
So after all these random weird trips, well, not random, just weird, we thought we'd come up with a manifesto to help us guide us in our design journey. So we've made 3 points, and we listened to them now. A toy is an object in play, so that's saying even if you fabricate something designed to be a toy, if you're not playing with it, it's not really a toy, it's just an object that's sitting there. Play is the exploration of physical and non-physical constructs. So play can be looking at your physical environment, or you can be playing with the rules that exist within that environment. And getting to a set of rules that initiate and maintain the state of play. So we're looking at play that involves more than one person. So if you have a set of rules, we're all on a similar sort of vibe, and no one's going to go crazy. So it maintains the state of play. All right, so yeah, we did have to come up with something after all that. So
yeah, so our initial reaction was basically just to get it all down on paper. And over the week before this, we were sort of building up these ideas, and we just got them out, and it was everything from... you know, action toys, Godzilla, right through to Subutio and all these other things that were sort of in our head and how we could change them and I guess make them better. And we actually split that wall of post-it notes into sort of four or five groups. And for us, one of the most interesting groups or categories was food. Typically, as sort of children, we're told, don't play with your food. You know, that's bad manners. But if you follow our definition, then why can't that food be a toy? And we thought we sort of related that back to the social context we saw in the museums, and we thought that's really interesting. So then we sort of landed on sourdough and how that's a really nice way of explaining sort of the life cycle behind food, so where it comes from and how food almost gets to the shelves.
Cool. So does anyone actually know what sourdough is? Just show of hands quickly. It's basically a way of cultivating the wild yeast that's all around us. It's on your hands, it's in the air, it's in the flour you buy. And you give it a nice, warm place to live with lots of food, and as you can see, it grows, which you can then use to make bread with. It's quite fascinating. So we kind of knew what sourdough was, but we didn't know how it worked, which is pretty important because we want to know everything about it. So we set about doing loads of experiments. It's not all. It's actually a sourdough hooked up to an Arduino with lots of different sensors on it. So it's got a pH sensor, ethanol sensors, temperature sensors, pressure sensors. So just trying to work out what kind of outputs this sourdough was creating, so we kind of used the data to do something with. And we had about six different sourdoughs, and they were all put under different conditions. So there were some in the fridge, some left outside, some covered, some kind of airlocked. And we wanted to know not only how the sourdough worked, but how to make the best tasting sourdough. So the best way to do that is obviously taste it. So those are the guys in the mint office eating it. We did lots of bread tasting and bread making, which was quite fun. And from that, we kind of came up with a kind of what we thought made the best sourdough. And two kind of key points was that a sourdough that has really good ethanol patterns, you could kind of learn everything you wanted to know just from using the ethanol sensor. You could follow the pattern of it breathing. It was kind of like it was breathing, so it was life cycle. So when you fed it, you could work out when it was being fed, and also when it was dying, so you could tell if it was alive. But also, a really interesting thing was that the sourdough which was agitated the most, so moved about, shaken, stirred, always tasted the best. So through every bread tasting session, the winner was always the one who'd been agitated the most, which you didn't really know, which is pretty good.
Okay, so we had these different things that we learned. We learned that we could figure out how sort of well your sourdough is doing based on the ethanol levels. And we also figured out that agitation equals good bread, but we had to sort of make this into some sort of fun toy to play with. You can't really play with this white goo. So we're thinking of ways that we could measure agitation. So this is like a Wii controller on top of a glass of sourdough and flour. We had to think of ways that you wouldn't pour out all your sourdough. So if you're a kid and you wanted to just feed it, or you wanted to use the sourdough, you wouldn't want to pour away this whole world that was inside your jar or something. And then, so we had to think of all the different ways to solve these problems. So this is one method that we came up with to stop you from pouring away all your sourdough. It's just a really big lip, so it keeps a good amount of sourdough in whenever you have to feed it. And then, right. Yeah, we had a really big problem with our sourdough and electronics. They don't really mix. I sort of just blacked that one out of my head. But it's all right, we figured out a way to solve this one. We made some fancy valves and inlets, so even when you're shaking it like a mental person, you're not going to get sourdough on the sensors and stuff like that. that's a top shot. So it actually rotates and it blocks off the sensor for when you get it in the play mode.
So we kind of solved all the physical like design challenges. So like the lid, everything you just saw basically, kind of how you don't mix the liquid and the electronics. And we really wanted to kind of move this on a on another level. So we solved the physical. We wanted to move this into kind of another kind of realm and making it a full-on kind of toy. So we spent a lot of time talking about how you personify like sourdough. Could it be like a game, animations, films, small world, one person, like a character? And yeah, we worked really hard, did a lot of fun drawings and made a lot of weird worlds and stuff. And yeah, we kind of we ended up with this, which...
So this is where we ended up, Dogo. And as it says, it's your little living world. But essentially, it's just a smart vessel for keeping your sourdough in. So as you see here, there's a bottom half and a top half. Simply, the bottom half is to keep the dough in. The top half is for all the electronics and for the sensors. They come apart, and you can add flour and water to start it off and feed it. And then as it sort of ferments and as it gets older and older, it turns into sourdough, and you can start to bake with it. So when it's plugged in, like we've been talking about, you can measure the ethanol sensor, as that requires more power than... So when it's plugged in, you can measure the ethanol, but also when it's unplugged, there's still a battery inside. And that's so that we can still keep getting data from it, and it actually turns into a controller for this game. So going back to the Wii remote...
And basically, your sourdough is being agitated while you play this game. It's going to create really healthy bread while you play this fun game. And we're going to show you now.
Yeah, this is the point when I start sweating.
The infamous live demo.
The infamous live demo.
Is it on?
Yeah, it is on.
Do you need a plug in?
This is a program called DogOS. Not yet.
So this is it.
So, yeah, we'll just launch up. So hopefully there's a little light that goes green, and it did.
It's a light.
Stop sweating.
Right, so when it loads up, which it should only minute now. That was like the most nerve-wracking period of time. Right, so we're going to stats mode first, which just monitors everything that's going on in there. Those lines are the accelerometers, so it's just measuring X, Y, and Z. But the interesting line, which happens when it's getting auxiliary power, is the ethanol sensor. So that little line that comes and joins us now is the ethanol readings inside it. And at the moment, I think it's closed, so it's going to be a bit funny, but if we turn it on, you see it rises because it's detecting the ethanol.
It's a light.
But throughout the day, we get a weird sort of wave pattern. So it usually goes to a low, and then you feed it. And then the ethanol levels go up again, and then it drops, and then you want to feed it when it's going down again. And when it dies, it produces a massive peak of ethanol, and then just drops to sort of zero, which is kind of interesting. So we know when it's dead. But all this is kind of boring. It's just like numbers and stuff. So we had to feed this into some sort of like narrative, which is this game. So the whole idea of Doug is... He's in here, and he wants to make sourdough for you. So to make sourdough, you have to play these different games. And it all involves agitating the sourdough. So this one's like collecting water, then putting it into the sourdough. See, I might go a bit silent here.
Don't let him get the acid rain. Where's the acid
going?
Anyway,
if we go back to the main one, so like, if you're being good to him, you can like have fun and make sourdough in your world. But if it's really like going bad for him,
I'll let you do it.
This is another game where you have to put bubbles in the sea to make your sourdough come alive, like we saw in that video. But so if you're neglecting your world and not looking after your sourdough environment, it goes it goes wrong for Doug. And he's like, oh, you need to sort out the sourdough mess. Which is kind of... But if when you're not being horrible to your sourdough, you can carry on playing the games. So, yeah, I think that's it.
I think what we're really keen on with this is that we just create kind of a platform, like a biologically controlled kind of games console. Sounds a bit mad, but this is just kind of a platform for other things that could be introduced. Who's to say it could be a rocket game or any other kind of,
We sort of describe this as the layer that sits on top of that physical. So this could change, and this could, like we said, it could be a completely different narrative.
But another point for these games is that by playing these games and building up your sourdough to a level, you unlock recipes, which then you can learn how to cook with your bread. I'll see if I can win one. Right, so I have to be a bit antisocial. But anyway, right, so we want a new recipe, so that means we can go to get and look at the recipes. And then from our resident baker Tom, we learn how to make sourdough. Cool.